And now, your speaker, Jonathan Stubblefield.
1st chapter of the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like a shaft which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We have a comparison given between the righteous and the ungodly. The righteous is described as being separate from the ungodly, and it states that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. In this he is also compared to a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Why is he described as a tree planted by the rivers of water? And it's because his delight is in the law of the Lord. This comparison shows how we as Christians should draw closer to the Word of God. When we read and study our Bibles on a daily basis, we will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, letting the moisture and the nutrients and sustenance we need, being able to draw these things from the Bible daily, so we will be able to grow and be fruitful. Our Bible gives us the provisions we need to be strengthened against the winds of life and to prosper according to God's instruction. For we also see a description of the ungodly. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. A shaft is defined as the husk of corn or wheat which was separated from the grain by being thrown into the air, the wind blowing away the shaft while the grain was saved. Like the ungodly in this comparison, so many we see in our world today are like the shaft, light carried by the wind, blown about to their own destruction. But this will not be so for the Christian who stays firmly rooted in the Word of God. In Ephesians 4:14 we read that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. From these verses we have read in Psalms and Ephesians, we can conclude that we should be on the meat of the Word as growing and mature Christians should, and not continuously on the milk. In the closing scriptures of the Old Testament, in Malachi 4:16, it states, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. What a true gift it is for us as human beings to have a book handed down to us from God known as the Bible. And tonight, for the few moments that we have, I want us to think about the theme of tonight's lesson, the importance of studying the Bible. The word Bible is from the Greek word biblios, meaning book of books, which in itself should tell us is the book superior to all others. It has 66 books contained in one volume with at least 36 different authors from completely different walks of life, covering a span of over 1,500 years. A book penned by men that were completely directed by the inspiration of God. Throughout three periods of time known as the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian dispensation, it is one major theme being God's plan of salvation for mankind. A book of complete unity, truth running in parallel lines, never in conflict or contradiction. With these facts in mind, I want us to think about what God requires of each of us as individuals, being followers of Jesus Christ. There is a vital question that we must ask ourselves. How do we show ourselves approved? Yes, God does require me to show my love to Him, to have my faith in Him, to put my trust in Him, to render my obedience to his word and to worship him in spirit and in truth. All these things are priorities and our duties as being Christians. But there is something else that is required of each one of us. In 2 Timothy 2:15 we read, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Each one of us as Christians has a personal responsibility to be studying our Bible. It should also be our desire. The Bible is the only book that tells of man's origin and destiny. Isn't it wonderful to know that if a man desires, he can open his Bible and read about the creation of the universe and of mankind in the beginnings of time, and keep reading onward and learn that there is life beyond this house of flesh and bone that we dwell within? How could we know any of this if it wasn't for the Word of God? In 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Apostle Paul reveals that there are two parts of man's nature. Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Yes, this body does decay, it slows down year by year, day by day. But how is our inward man renewed day by day? In verse 18 of that same chapter, Paul states, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." By this verse, we can draw the conclusion that we are not to be overly concerned with the things that are seen or of a physical nature, but instead we should be concerned with the things that aren't seen or of a spiritual nature. Yes, we do have a requirement of things to sustain us day by day. Food, clothing, shelter, these things are important in our daily living. But we need to ask ourselves, which is our greater priority? Being caught up in worldliness and the pleasures of this life, or being concerned with the destinies of our souls, which shall last forever? Of the spiritual and physical, which one does Christ style the greater? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, our Lord states, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to kill both the body and soul in hell." This is a chilling thought, but it's a sobering one. This statement by our Lord gives us some insight on what awaits us when we have the wrong priorities in our lives. Jesus also stated in Matthew chapter 16, verses 25-26, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" From these scriptures it is plain to see that above all else that might come our way in life, whether it be the things that we can gain physically, or great fame, or power, or prestige, the things that are spiritual are supposed to be first in our lives. And this is the only way we can grow into spiritual maturity is to study our Word of God. As Christians, we are commanded to study and understand the Bible. The prophet Isaiah stated in Isaiah 34, verse 16, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read." Where did Isaiah say we should study? The book of the Lord. Not in the Book of Mormon, not in a Methodist discipline, not in a Baptist creed book, not in the Koran or a Presbyterian confession of faith or a Catholic catechism. Where did he say? He said the book of the Lord. In 1 Timothy 4:13, the Apostle Paul exhorted and instructed young Timothy to give heed to study. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Paul said doctrine, which means teaching. Whose doctrine? The apostles' And where can we find the apostles' doctrine? Right here in God's book. The apostles only taught one doctrine, and that's the doctrine that was handed down from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Our elders here at East End know that we're supposed to be studying our Bible. And Bible classes are offered to aid in our understanding and to strengthen us. The elders are doing their job of feeding the flock. Bible class teachers also work hard in preparing lessons that will help to build us up and to strengthen us. But isn't it sad when all this effort is put forth and people don't even care enough to come? People that are supposed to be followers of Christ and His teaching can't get up out of bed to be here for Bible study because they were up too late the night before. Or even worse, when people shrug Bible study off as boring and unimportant. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 still says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." From these verses, it is plain to see not only should we want to study, but we are commanded. Isn't that enough reason for us? Lives we live should be grounded in Bible principles, and we will have a hard time achieving this if we don't take time out to study. It should be the desire of each person here to want to know what the Word says, not only to have instruction in righteous living, but to keep ourselves from being foolish. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17 it reads, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Also, our Lord stated in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We as Christians are expected to build our lives upon the rock of the Lord's teaching, the firm foundation that He has given us through His Word, and not upon the sandy ground of worldliness. If a person isn't interested enough to study and reinforce the words by which we are to live, then it's not going to be long till worldliness is going to choke the Word out. The Bible tells us that we should let the Word dwell within us. In Colossians 3, verse 16 through 17, the Apostle Paul states, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do all in the name of, or by the authority of, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." If we treasure it up richly, we will have the divine wisdom in our hearts. We should seriously meditate upon the law of the Lord. If we look back at Psalms chapter 1, it reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." First, we have the Apostle Paul telling us to let the Word of Christ dwell within us. How do we let the Word dwell within us? By study. And we should meditate upon God's Word so that we will be able to let the truths of the Bible guide us and strengthen us in our day-to-day life. What will be the blessing of this? Psalms chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "We will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water." Do you know what the greatest curse upon mankind is today? It's ignorance. Yes, ignorance is the cause of many souls being lost every day. But we can't blame God. God has given mankind the knowledge of the things that are required of him to go to heaven. All we have to do is pick up the book and read. A good example of ignorance is found in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. Here we find the Apostle Paul giving a description of the heathen Gentiles of that time that hadn't been enlightened by the gospel and were without the spiritual life that comes from knowing God. Verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." If we had no knowledge of the Word of God in our heart, where would we gain purity of life? If we didn't have God's divine instruction, mankind would probably be utterly consumed with evil. Now I'd like all of us to turn to Hosea 4:6, chapter 4, verse 6, to learn the results of forgetting God's law. Here the prophet Hosea records in verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Some say what you don't know can't hurt you, but that's not what the Bible teaches. God, speaking through Hosea, clearly states why his people are destroyed. Lack of knowledge and rejecting the knowledge offered through the Scripture. The truths offered in the Bible are our standard that God has given us to live by and to know. Does people being destroyed for lack of knowledge sound like Bible study is optional? I don't think it is. Jesus knew that some would try to serve him ignorantly. In John 16:2, Jesus records Jesus speaking to the apostles, stating, verse 2, "They shall put you out of the synagogue, yet the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service." In Acts 3:17, Peter, preaching to the Jews, stated, "And now, brethren, I wot or know that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." This was stated because of the slaying of Jesus that the Jews and the rulers had done in ignorance and blinded by prejudice. At the time of the trial and the crucifixion, many of the Jews probably thought they were doing right. But this is a good example of how ignorance can cause wrong to seem right. There are many today who in the same way believe they are doing right and serving God when biblically they're not. They follow after men's traditions instead of God's instruction. Despite man and his so-called wisdom, man cannot direct his own way to heaven. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 we read, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." That is why we are to go by God's authority, his perfect law of liberty, not the doctrines and commandments of men. Many believe today that they are pleasing God even when the worship they practice has no authority from God's Word. Some say that we like our instrumental music in worship. It's entertaining, even though the Bible doesn't authorize it. Some say, "We only partake of the Lord's Supper once a month, once every 3 months, once a year." But the Bible says, upon the first day of the week. Oh, but we don't want it to lose its significance. Now, I've had people tell me that before. But where'd they find it? Friends, they didn't find it in the Bible. That's for sure. But some say, all these things don't seem all that bad. It makes us feel good. It's the way we've always done it. This can be summed up in three words. Lack of respect. Respect of what? The Word of God. In Proverbs 14:12 we read, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need to keep studying our Bible so we will cling to God's Word of life instead of man's vain tradition. In Matthew 7, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. Enter in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Scripture makes me wonder, how many will find the way which leadeth unto eternal life? Jesus said few. This prompts the question, are all religious people going to heaven? To find the answer to this question, we need to turn to in our Bible to Acts, the 23rd chapter and verse 1. Here we find the Apostle Paul on trial before the council of the Sanhedrin for preaching Christ. He pleaded his cause by saying in verse 1, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. What day is Paul talking about here? He's talking about the day that he was stopped in his tracks by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus to persecute Christians. Paul had once been a devout Jew, he had kept the law, and was an arch persecutor of Christians. Galatians 1 in verse 14, Paul states about himself, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Paul was very successful as a Jew and was very zealous in his work. But we need to ask ourselves, was Paul religious? Yes. Did Paul believe in God? Most assuredly. Was Paul sincere? Without a doubt. Paul was trying to serve God in what he thought was right, but in his ignorance, he was going completely against what God was trying to accomplish. Many of our friends and families and neighbors are doing these same things today. They do this by making themselves subject to the denominational churches and their creeds and councils and conferences and hierarchy that you won't read about in the New Testament. Although, like the Apostle Paul, their intentions are good, good intentions will not get us to heaven. In Matthew 15 and verse 9, the Lord said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men. In verse 13 through 15 of that same chapter, the Lord states, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. The confusion of churches and different teaching wouldn't exist with pure and unbiased Bible study. Putting away the traditions that people blindly follow without question, and then striving only to follow what the Bible teaches. With simple Bible study, these people would see that the Bible has strict warnings in it. In Deuteronomy 12 and verse 32, it reads, what thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And also in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19, we have a strict warning. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Mankind needs to learn to respect God's way instead of his own way. But Jehovah comes to rescue man, but he only rescues those who will follow him. In Psalms chapter 48, verse 14, it is revealed to us how long God will guide those who follow him. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. But how will God guide us? In Psalms chapter 73, verse 24, it reads, Thou shalt guide me with the counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. God will guide us through His counsel and His word, and He will do this till we die. But we have to desire to follow Him through His word and by His word. In Psalms 119 and verse 105 it states, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And in verse 130 of that same chapter it states, The entrance of thy word giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. Notice it said to the simple. We don't have to be highly educated people to understand the simplicity of God's truth. It's for everyone who desires salvation. How gracious and kind God has been to give mankind guidance through His Word. And to me, it's amazing the love and the patience that God shows to mankind, as defiant as mankind has been down through the ages. But through following the loving guidance of His Word, mankind can truly have freedom. In John chapter 8, verse 32, we read the words of Jesus saying, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Some so-called religious people in our world today try to say that you can't know the truth, and that you can't be sure of anything, and nobody's really wrong in how they worship or in their teaching. But brethren, we can know the truth, and we can be sure, because in John 17:17 it reads, Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. What will the truth make us free from? In John chapter 4 and verse 1, we read, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we can see that following the truth of God's word will free us from the false way and the vain practices of man by trying the spirits by the word. We will also be free from practicing vain worship. In Matthew 15, verse 9, it reads, But in vain do they worship me, teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men. Holding to the truth by studying the Bible, we can keep ourselves from being a curse of God. Galatians 1:8 reads, But though we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And even though the Scriptures' teachings make it plain that God's Word is true, it is still possible for people to reject Christ. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath the one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What are we going to be judged by? We're going to be judged by God's Word. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, we have the picture of the judgment scene. In verse 12 it reads, And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. All of us will be judged by God's Word. Not some, not maybe a few, but all of us. None are going to escape, and God's judgment will be just and it will be final. If we are all to be judged by God's Word, shouldn't we want to know it and study it? Not only should we want to know it, but we should want to be obedient to what God has commanded. We'd want to encourage you to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can do this by following a simple teaching presented in the New Testament, the way people were saved almost 2,000 years ago. By hearing the Word, believing it with all your heart, repenting of the sins of your life, confessing His name before men, and being buried with our Lord in baptism for the remission of our sins. When you do this, God adds you to the one glorious church that His Son purchased with His blood.